Good morning, and hey, you guys. Welcome to Nadia's World. Of course, it's with your girl Nadia. Hi, happy to see me. I'm happy to see you guys. So, good morning. I did tell you guys I was hitting y'all with part two. We're gonna continue pretty much the rest of this documentary on Quiet on the Set, the Dark Side of Kids Television. I mean, bells have been ringing and going off ever since this documentary pretty much hit, and more explosions and more drop pulsating stories have emerged from that, and even an outpouring of respect and mutual love from cast members of certain shows have also pretty much gave their testimony and their views on pretty much what happened. And it's even ringing more alarms of previous castmates of Nickelodeon shows also been saying that they've been coming out with their stories for years against the company and Dan Schneider and XOXOXOXO. So we're gonna jump right into it. Okay, so when I left you guys off on the last episode, I pretty much set you guys up for the scene. When it came to dialogue coach Brian Peck, the writings were on the wall. And former castmate Kyle Sullivan pretty much said on the documentary that when they went to this man's house for a barbecue, all castmates, all parents, okay, he saw how Brian's house was set up, along with, you know, he had a room filled with toys and other memorabilia. Then he had things from Planet of the Apes, and he noticed about a painting that had a clown on it. Come to find out, that was a painting of this serial killer who was John Wayne Gacy, who pretty much died with lethal injection back in 1994. And he also specified that Brian Peck was a pen pal of this man and had a stack full of letters and pulled out this painting and told it to everybody. So you have somebody who has a painting of a serial killer that killed over 33 victims, young men, young boys between the ages of 14 and 21, for that whole setting right there. And no one said anything. No one scratched their head and said, mm-mm, something ain't right. Drake's father, I told y'all about that one in the last episode. He also noticed a couple of things that made him uncomfortable. And not only that, he pretty much gave his views and complained to the producers about Brian Peck being too much around his son and doing uncomfortable things. And every time he turned around when Drake was going over here, who popped up? Every concert, because also Drake was also a musician. Anytime Drake had a concert, it could be here, there, and everywhere who popped up. The father said that he also threw a concert for Drake to play with his band, who popped up. Because not only that, Drake's manager was his father. His father pretty much, you know, would take him places where auditions and stuff like that. And not only with him being on the Amanda show and him being co-star of the show, he pretty much was set up to be his own star on his show, which pretty much gave down the line about 2 years later. Once the Amanda show wrapped, he pretty much went into production on filming Drake and Josh. Okay, so not only did Joe figure out Brian's tactics, but now when Joe was complaining about Brian being around his son too much, one person specified and said, oh, he's gay. Maybe you have something against people maybe you're homophobic. And Joe was like, what? No, I'm not. I'm letting you guys know that this man is hanging around my son a little too much. He's being touchy-feely. It's making me uncomfortable, and I don't like it. And he pretty much was giving them facts like, hello, do something. And they turned a blind eye to the point where it caused a rift. And it even got to the point where Drake had to sever ties with his dad on being manager and pretty much being a part of his integral life. Because Brian got into the way of thinking that this man, his father, was taking money and stealing money from them, even though it was actually proven that never happened. So not only that, Drake pretty much opened up and has never opened up before about what seriously happened to him. So this is over 23 years ago. When Brian Peck was arrested back in 2003 in August, no one knew why, but come to find out, he sexually assaulted Drake. And it was brought up on 2 counts. As you could have told, Drake didn't really go into accurate and intricate details of what happened, but he told the interviewer, imagining someone doing the most heinous, unexplainable acts to you, then you tell me. For him to even go that far and that deep, you see how it still has traumatized and damaged his life. And this man is now almost in his late 30s now, and back then that started with him at 15. So imagine you going through that, having to keep this secret, still having to keep up with callbacks, going on a major show, your show, hiding all of this and still pretending like everything's okay, and this is happening to you constantly. And it's like, again, Joe pretty much told the mom after the dust cleared, here's everything, but keep an eye on him. Do not let Brian around him. Don't take your eyes off of him. And unfortunately, that did not happen. So once testimony got started and the case pretty much came into the case didn't go to it didn't go to trial until 2004. Okay, let's just say, and I'm not saying roughly, Drake said when he went into the courtroom, he said on one side, Brian's side was filled to capacity. He said on his side, all he had was his brother, his mom, and him. Now, in the documentary, Kate Taylor did her homework, and she said that the court records and documents were sealed for over 20-something years, and there were letters that were written on Brian Peck's behalf to give this man leniency, because he was brought up on charges of endangering, of charges of what pretty much he did to Drake at the time, being at the time that Drake was a minor. And I'm not going to go into detail and say too much, but we already get what happened. We can imagine. And it was, he said over time it got brutal and it got more damaging. And again, before we even get to that point, I also have to applaud. He also specified also, before we even get to that point, it got more intense and more worse over time. So it had to take him. And he said at the point, while all this was going on, he had a girlfriend. And he was at his girlfriend's house at that particular time. And the phone started to ring, and he ignored it. He ignored it, kept going. It was Brian. Then it started from him ringing the cell phone, now to calling the girlfriend's house. And it was going. Okay? So the mom picked up the phone and handed the phone to him. And he said it was Brian on the other end talking about, oh, you were supposed to go. You were supposed to go here, go there. You know, Jake was like, I'm not going. I'm good. Phone hung up. The phone kept ringing constantly. So the mother pulled Drake in the kitchen. He said that he closed the door behind them so they could have privacy or whatever. So his girlfriend's mom was like, what's going on? He's like, oh, nothing. He's trying to play it off. The mom's like, no, what's really going on? She said that there's no way a 40-year-old man is calling a teenager like that. And I think Drake was either 15 or 16. It was probably maybe 15 going on 16 at that time. So the mom called up his mother and said, I'm taking him to therapy. And he was taking the therapy. And he said at the time, you know, he didn't want to say too much or say too less. Or he was trying to find the words to say, everything's okay. Everything's all right. I'm good. And then he said that one day, it all just came out. He exploded. He told his mom everything. He said he remembers screaming everything that happened on the phone to her. And she pretty much instantly called the cops. And that's when, you know, cops came over. And he said that he was divulging every aspect, every detail to two strangers who didn't even know. And that he also had to get Brian to admit that this was done. So again, passport trial came. He said it took a lo- he said it was a long time coming, but it finally came. He was also, you know, it was time for him to film the show. So he was in production on doing that as well. So like I said, one side it was spilled to the capacity on Brian's side. And on his side, it was just him, his mom, and his brother. He said he had nothing to say to Brian. Nothing. But his mom got up and made her statement. What rattles me is the fact that letters, like I said just previously before I stopped and went back. Kate Taylor did her homework. She's a journalist. She also was on the documentary as well. Well, she said that these documents were sealed and not opened up until now. She said that letters were written from people in Hollywood supporting Brian and saying that he needed leniency. He'd been in the business for years. He knows what he's doing. He's this. He's da 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 da. Okay. Dan Schneider did not write a note on his behalf. Nickelodeon did not write a note on his behalf. But other people, such as James Marsden, William Friedle, Ryder Strong, both from Boy Meets World. You got Joanna Kearns and the late Robin Thicke, both from Growing Pains, who paid the mom and dad writing letters. You had Taron Kelham, who's an actor. You had, and countless others writing letters on behalf of letting the judge get leniency for Brian Peck. Okay. All in all, this man only got 16 months and he had to register as a sex offender. If it wasn't for not trying to be funny, if it wasn't for that parent, we wouldn't have known how long that would have been happening. We don't know. We wouldn't have knew. We never would have knew if she didn't catch on. And Drake said that mom caught on quick, just like his father caught on quick. Okay. It's just, you have no words. But today, Drake and his father are definitely a well-oiled machine. When Drake's father, when Joe Bell found out what happened, because he also was like, I'm so happy that that guy got arrested, and I'm happy that he didn't get to you. But then when he found out it happened, Joe said it broke his heart, and you can see the actual pain on his face, and it hurt him. Because he was the one that was protecting him the entire time, and he knew. It wasn't like he was late about it. He knew from the beginning, out the gate, it was a smoking gun. And when he told producers and others, he was ridiculed and ostracized. And this guy knew how to drive a wedge in between his father, and he did. And the mom too. And I have to fault the mom too. Because his father told you, keep him away from him. No matter what you do, keep your eyes on him. Don't let him out of your sight, and keep Brian away from him. He said that. Joe Bell said that in the documentary, but what he said to the mom, and the mom pretty much let that be all open platter. Not to say that Drake didn't have a downward spiral on things, because anything of traumaticity will definitely spark up some things and definitely have you on that path, because again, you didn't get, and you'll never get closure. It's pretty much, you didn't get a sense of, you question things, and it goes deeper. It goes deeper than even the I can say, because you felt that though you weren't protected, or you had to keep your mouth shut, or no one would believe you. It's a different plethora of things when something of this nature happens. And anything happens to someone. You feel as though you're not being heard. You wasn't given enough grace. And then you do go through things. You go through a plethora of things. And you're still trying to find your way. You're still trying to find your way despite the fact of how you truly feel. So, you know, again, with that, you know, he's definitely took some blows, but he definitely gives himself full acknowledgement on what happened, about the DUI and then about the endangerment of a child that Casey had back in 2021. He pretty much gives acknowledgement to that. And I'm not saying that he was wrong for what happened, but also at the same time, he's also growing from what happened with him. And it's going to take a very long time. And it's going to be a lot. It's a lot of building, a lot of working through it, and a lot of understanding it, and just being not only an advocate for yourself, but letting people out here know the signs and how to deal with that. And again, like I said in the last episode, this Brian Peck person went on to work on another not only for another company with children, but on another television show, which we all know, and that was the Secret Life of Zach and Cody on the Disney Channel. He went to work over there. Really, you guys? Really? Really, Nickelodeon? So, y'all have three people on here. Three people. Jason Handy, Brian Peck, Izel Channel. Really? Really? Okay, with the documentary pretty much out here for the world to see, again, with Drake pretty much divulging what happened with him, a lot of stars on the documentary, as well as others, have come forward to specify, just to be shell-shocked on what happened. Nancy Sullivan, who played the mom on the show, she pretty much gave her take and said that she, you know, even though Drake wasn't played her child on television, you know, in real life, her heart hurts for what happened to him and for him to carry around that secret and just keep business as usual. Also, his co-star, Josh Peck, he released a TikTok the other day, and I think fans and viewers was not having it. They went off. So Drake Bell pretty much came on his Instagram live and just said for him, for the fans to kind of back off a little bit. He didn't know what happened and he didn't know. No one knew. No one knew. And for him to public, like I said, for Drake to publicly come out and say that he was the Jane Doe, because at the time he was a minor. And when you're a minor, they don't really give out your information. You're considered a John Doe or a Jane Doe because you're not of adult age. That's pretty much what it is. For him to even, like I said, for this to happen over 23 years ago, and this documentary was in the make, I wouldn't say was in the making, but it was in due time. And for him to express this, and like I said, for him to be in his in his late 30s and still, like I said, you can tell the body language, the vibe, his whole demeanor. You can see it was hard for him to say this, because he said he never said this outside of therapy. He never has been vocalized to tell the world on this platform, on this stage, in this point right now, what really happened. We all can get it. We all can read between the lines. But like I said, it has to go into effect when it comes to these children's shows, when it comes to these networks, what more needs to be done and what should have been done and what needed to be done. And again, the more we know about this, the more we're aware. And again, to, like I said, to the people that have been sounding the alarm from the very beginning, Angelique Bates, y'all remember her? I don't know if I spoke about her on the last episode. Angelique Bates, she was in the beginning when all that came together. She was the main core person, main core people, besides Kel, besides Keenan, besides Lori Beth. She was the key person along with Katrina Taylor. Okay. I'm not saying vaguely don't know her story, but there have been rumblings about what happened with her also. She was ousted. But she was also, she also had a dark secret as well. She was abused as a child by the person that was supposed to be looking out for her, which was her mom. They had to get CPS involved. Producers, parents turned a blind eye to what happened to her. And she was on all that at the time. They let her go. And many moons later, for her speaking out for that caused her to get blackballed and looked upon and acting like she was lying about the whole thing. But today, she's stronger than ever. She's well respected. She's a mom. She don't play with her kids. She don't. She's outspoken about what has happened to her. It doesn't put or defame who she is. She stands on her truth. And what they say, she stand on business. And she said that she's been sounding the alarm way before Nickelodeon kicked Dan Schneider to the curb. Oh, I'm gonna get to him in a minute. I'm gonna get on what he pretty much basically had to say, which makes nothing of nothing. She's been standing on business about what happened to her and how people turned a blind eye, and she hasn't been wrong. And I mean, she's been pulling up receipts since yesterday, and she's still pulling up receipts. A lot of people asked her why you wasn't on the documentary. She said she declined, and that's understandable. She has a right to do that. But she's been sounding bells and alarms about Nickelodeon and Dan Schneider for years. Because we all wanted to know what happened to her way before. Because we didn't know. We've heard the rumblings and here and there. And sometimes what they say all the time, where there's smoke, there's the fire's coming. It's only a matter of time. So we really didn't know what truly happened to her. But now that I did my own kind of research, because when she responded back to a fan and they said, why you wasn't on a documentary? She said she declined. They asked her. She declined. She didn't want to be. And they was like, well, what happened to you? And she said, check it out. Go do your research. Google me. I was like, okay. I'm like, okay. And when I heard what happened, it all came back. And I was like, whoa. Wow. And just shaking my head. Like, here we go again. Another child. Pretty much in your face. Specifying what's going on. And no one listens. They paint you. They ostracize you as the odd man out. And then you scoot it out. And this is what happened to countless others. Your parents spoke up for you. That was a bad thing. You were ostracized or criticized as the bad apple. Knowing that there was some undertones. Knowing that things were happening in real time. Right in front of people's faces. And no one said anything. No one stood up. No one said, this is wrong. This is crazy. Now, Dan Snyder was also interviewed. Was also interviewed, I think, yesterday. And Boogie from Ned's Classified. This was another Nickelodeon show on there. With countless other Nickelodeon shows. Okay. So I guess he was interviewing Dan Schneider, which I thought was wrong. I don't think Dan Schneider needs to be interviewed. I think it's a lot of finger pointing, a lot of blaming, a lot of not accountability. If you watch that documentary, honestly, as the person that ran, that was the, you could say, the golden goose of Nickelodeon, who had all these shows on Nickelodeon. You were the boss of Nickelodeon, the face of Nickelodeon. You got honored for Nickelodeon. You don't get to be remorseful. You don't get to have feelings. Because you put all those children, all your workers, and anybody who came through those doors through hell. You don't get to be upset. You don't get to be emotional. And screw your apology. Your apology doesn't take the sting out of anything. You was rated a horrible boss. People have been sounding the alarms on you. It's a good thing and sometimes a bad thing that we have the internet, but the internet speaks a lot of volumes and the internet can cough up a lot of receipts. Because back then, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have all these. We didn't have too much technology. You had to make sure you had these things and documents and boxes and paper. You had to have your paper trail. But now, since we have the internet, you could type up a certain day, type up a certain thing, put a person's name in it, and you get so much information. They said the internet is a powerful thing. It is. And you have to use it to your juxtaposition. It is a powerful thing. I guess it can have a downward spiral too. But yes, it is a powerful thing. Okay. So with that being said, for you to be on a kids' television network, for you to crank out all these kids shows but have undertones, and you mean an adult, you pretty much put children in the way of adult content, even though it was a children's show. It had adult content, and some children spoke out about that, who were kids at the time, about their disdain. You didn't listen. You had co-workers that kind of let you know that you making it hostile around here. You didn't listen. You treated women like an objectory. You didn't listen. The station that had your back, that supported you, that pretty much let you run like a hurricane through that network, got rid of you. But I think they should have got rid of you a long time ago. Once the first thing happened, they should let your ass go. Before the Me Too, they should let your ass go. When the first thing happened, they should let your ass go. When that whole situation with Drake and Brian, with that whole situation where Brian Peck was brought up on charges, they should let your ass go. And before that, when you were giving women unfair pay, they should let your ass go. So it was many bumps in the road. And I'm not saying bumps, not dicks. There was many problems in the road that should have had your ass hop out of here. So you don't get to be upset, Dan Schneider. You don't get to cry. You don't get to do that. These people that you inflicted your disgusting and your wild pain on, they're the ones. But then also he throws out a bit of tit information too. So I'm kind of wondering, where's Brian Robbins in all of this? Because remember, it was always him and Dan in the beginning. And remember, if you've seen in the credits, it started to be Tolan Robbins production. So, question. Why are we not shedding the spotlight on Brian Robbins too? And where is Mr. Tolan's? Very interesting. Very, very interesting. But again, to that whole documentary, bravo. Kudos. Y'all did y'all investigative work. Y'all stuck to the assignment. Y'all understood the environment. Y'all bought accurate, due diligence, tact, and class to that documentary. Y'all didn't leave no stone unturned, nothing to fly out under. Y'all had compelling evidence. To those that spoke out, even bigger thanks to you. Because you guys are the voices behind, you guys are the voices and the faces of those for yourself, as well as those in letting people out here and letting the fans know. And I'm saying fans, viewers, loyal people. That if it happened to me, it could happen to you. And I wouldn't want you to, and don't do that. Because I'm still working on what happened to me, what traumatically happened to me. But listen, it didn't break me. I'm still here. Much respect goes out to Joe, you knew what was going on. You didn't turn a blind eye. You spoke up. Brandy's mom, you didn't turn a blind eye. You spoke up for your child. Brian Hearn's mom, you didn't do anything to your son. You protected him as you could. You knew what was going on. You didn't turn a blind eye. You spoke up. The girlfriend's mom, you didn't turn a blind eye. You knew something was going on. You didn't read between the lines and you acted on it as you should. That's what you're supposed to do. If you knew, you said something, you knew something and you acted on it. You didn't wait. Much respect goes to you guys. That's how you should be in this industry. You know something? Say something. People don't listen? You sound bells, alarms, whistles. You keep going on and saying the same damn thing. It couldn't have been easy saying all of this. It couldn't have been easy specifying what happened to you dramatically. It couldn't have been. Drake, much respect to you, all of you guys, for speaking up and telling your story. Y'all sounding bells and whistles and alarms. Disney, y'all next. What's up? Like I said, to everybody that contribute to the documentary, kudos. Y'all did that. Y'all did that. The ID channel, Max, y'all gonna explode with the ratings. The ratings are gonna go off. This year is definitely the year of Beyond Accountability, breakthrough, breakdowns, and really getting and really blowing whistles. And I'm not saying blowing one whistle. No. We talking about breaking not barriers, breaking shit apart and ripping it and reconstructing it and saying, we not having that. Bye. Nope. That is not normal. That is not tolerated. We're not gonna stay here. We're not gonna act on it. Fuck no. Done. And to those who also have been speaking out, like I said, Angelique Bates, Jeanette McCurdy. Yes. Sorry to those who didn't believe you. You didn't change your story. You had nothing to lose. You spoke on your truth. You're not allowed to do that. You're going to do that. That's your truth. That's what happened. Nobody can change that. You're not wrong for speaking about what happened to you. You're not. You did it your way. So for those who didn't believe you, shame on you. Shame on them. Not on you. And who cares? You're still out here. You're still making a way. You're still doing what you're supposed to be doing. And you're going to keep on telling your story. Because that's what happened. That's your story. And again, laws and things when it comes to these stations that are bought for kids, that are by kids, children actors, children singers, children anything incorporated with that. I will say this. There needs to be more put into it. There needs to be laws that don't let child predators of any kind get into the industry. Of any kind get in, period. There shouldn't be any stone unturned. Go deeper. Something's off. There's a reason. Investigate it. Get to it. Because you could be saving someone's life. And also for parents, do your homework. Do your due diligence. Do whatever you got to do to protect your child. You saying something? You're supposed to. Something's not right, it ain't right. You're not wrong. You're sticking up for what's right. Who cares if they ostracize you or rate you as the problem? They're the problem. Because they weren't bold enough to say what you had to say. They weren't bold to speak and catch on shit. They weren't in their right mind to say what was right and what was wrong. But you did. You did, and you're not wrong for that. You're totally right. You're a parent. That's what you do. Some may sit and, well, you solved the problem. You go to the ends of the earth to make sure that problem is solved, thought out, well executed, as they say. I just think that more needed to be done, and still. This has been a problem when it comes to child stars and child musicians and things of that nature. This has been a lot. And you hear the stories. And you're going to hear more stories coming out about this. And far beyond. because I don't think this team should stop. And I think we need to know more about Disney. Yes. Like I said, I grew up on Nickelodeon back in the day with Wild and Crazy Kids. You can't do that on television. Double Dare, Figure It Out, all that. Kenan and Kel, the list goes on. I grew up on watching Nickelodeon. I ain't gonna even hold you. Eureka's Castle, Gullah Gullah Island, Lotus Brams, The Elephant Show. I grew up on that. Like, come on. The first thing we used to do after summer camp, come home and watch Nickelodeon. We watched Nickelodeon in the mornings. Hey, Dude. Oh, my God. I can go off on what happened. Nickelodeon was the thing to tune into. It was rumblings about what was going on behind the scenes. You heard about this. It had to take a documentary. Sometimes when you hear like little scuttlebutt and little rumors and stuff, you need to do your homework. Because some things are true. Some things are true. They can't all not be true. Some things are true. But I'm going to end that on that point. The documentary was definitely, it was definitely something to tune into. And I think that it needs to be more. And I think Disney is next on the palette, because we have to open the lid when it comes to the industry. We have to sound the alarm on things. And if you know something, say something. And it's not even that. And it's just given common knowledge that it does need to be known, because these are the things that have been happening time and time and time again. And it's got to end. It's got to end. It's got to. Too much. So, again, this is the year definitely that the roof has been blown off the sucker. Okay? This year is, honey, accountability at its form. And we are not done yet. We are not done. We've only, as they say, scratched the surface. There's more coming out. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. So, another star has got its star. This one's for hip hop. You guys are familiar with Dr. Dre. He pretty much got his star this past week on Big Boy was MC for that. You had Snoop Dogg and his wife that showed love. You had Corrupt. You had Eminem, 50 Cent. Am I missing someone? I think I am missing someone. But the stars came out to give him his star on the Walk of Fame. Lenny Kravitz also got his star on the Walk of Fame. Got to get that up too. And I think the next star will be given by Martha Reeves. Y'all remember Martha Reeves and the Vandellas a long time ago, Dancing in the Street, Heat Wave. The talent, her list of songs go on and on. She is also going to be the next one getting her star. Okay? So, that's pretty much what I had to tell you guys. I had to get on part two of that. I had to let you guys know about the documentary. It's been setting a blaze. So, I will see you guys on the next episode. You guys stay safe. And most importantly, later.